Genesis chapter 1, verse 3. Boy, we're going back a little ways today, aren't we? We're not going to stick there. We're just going to quickly take a look at that. Genesis chapter 1, verse 3. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. Let there be light. And there was light. Light is a marvelous thing. Can you imagine if we didn't have any light? Could you imagine what that would have been like? Could you imagine if there was, I don't mean just that, you know, it's dark and you can use a flashlight, but can you imagine if all there was darkness? If such a thing as light didn't even exist? That all there was, all the time, perpetually, was darkness. It's interesting that light was the very first thing that God created back in Genesis 1, chapter 3. Let there be light. Boom. And there was light. Before anything else, God created light. It's hard to imagine a world in darkness. I know I don't particularly enjoy walking in darkness. When Pastor Megan was here leading our youth group, one of the things that she did every so often is she had a game of hide and seek in the dark. Anybody can play hide and seek in the light, but in the dark. And in our long winters, when it's dark out a long time, and you have quite a complex building with all kinds of corridors and doors that somebody could be hiding behind and all sorts of things, it was the joy of the youth to scare Megan out of her wits. I mean, that was their favorite thing. And for whatever reason, she kept taking it, you know. Poor soul. Somebody ought to, you know, give her an award for that or something. But walking in darkness is never any fun. You don't know where you're going. You don't know what you're going to run into. That's why we have lights. That's why up and down the coast, there's lighthouses to let ships know what they're heading towards, where the land is. The bottom line is we need light. We need light. It's not great to be stuck in darkness. When the power goes out for an extended period of time, people are all scrambling to find some source of light. Back in the days of Isaiah, and we've been looking in Isaiah throughout the 4 weeks before Christmas, way back in the days of Isaiah in the Old Testament, the people were walking in darkness. And we're not talking about a physical darkness when the sun goes down. We're talking about a spiritual darkness. If you can imagine the uncomfortableness of physical darkness and how lost a person would be, if we can just sort of put that in our mind, what it would be like to be in a spiritual darkness. And I think there are so many in our world who are there today. They are in a darkness of the spirit, of the soul. They can't see where they're going. They're stumbling. They're fumbling around. And it was like that for the people in Isaiah's day. There was a darkness of the soul where people had pushed God out of their lives. And we know that God is a source of light. And so it only makes sense. The more people push God out of their lives, the more darker they will be within themselves. And the people in Isaiah's day had certainly tested and pushed God's boundaries and pushed God further away. And the further they pushed God, the darker it became. Does that sound familiar? Even today in our world? And it's in that context that we read the word of hope from Isaiah chapter 9 earlier on, and we read it last week, and I'd like for us just to take a quick peek at that and as a starting point this morning, Isaiah chapter 9, verse 2. Well, verse 1 and 2, where it says, nevertheless, there will be no more gloom for those who are in distress. The people, verse 2, the people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. This is what we were talking about last week. How Jesus Christ was the light that came. That's what we were celebrating. Light to the world. Well, this morning I want us to just go a little bit beyond that. Take the next step after that and take a look at that a little more closely. Jesus said in John chapter 8, verse 12, and this is where the connection is between what Isaiah wrote in Isaiah chapter 9 and Christmas and our hope. John chapter 8, verse 12, Jesus said, I am the light of the world. Isaiah said, the people are walking in darkness, have seen a great light. Jesus comes, I am that light. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. And as we know, God sent Jesus into the world, into the darkness of the world, to be a light for us. And in the darkness of our heart, where people have pushed God so far away, Jesus offers to come. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice, Jesus says, and opens the door, I will come into him. Jesus wants to come into us as a light. But oftentimes in our world, Jesus is pushed aside. Light does at least two things for us. First of all, light exposes danger. And because of that, light is used to guide us in our way. And I'd like for us to look at that, those two points this morning. Light will expose any danger. Those of you who know me know that I often do some renovations, either at my house or sometimes here at the church. And one of the things that I don't particularly enjoy doing, and you probably don't either, is drywalling, right? Anybody here loves to do drywalling? Just put up your hand and come to Tagish in about a year. If you love to do drywalling, I'd love to see you, okay? We don't like it. But here's the thing, you know, there's dust everywhere, and you slap on the mud. You put it on very carefully. If you pile it on, well, I tell you, I just got to say, this is not in my notes. It has nothing to do, but I just got to say, one year there was a fellow who came and said, I want to volunteer and do some work. I said, okay, what can you do? I said, we're doing some work in the basement. He said, well, I can put drywall up, drywall mud. I can do that for you. So he went. I said, go at it. And he went in there, and he slapped mud up on the drywall. And it's still there to this day. This is the room that we have used for our tools and storage room there, you know. We try to sand some of that mud off, but man, it's on there thick. So you want to put it on thin. But anyway, the point is, when you're working with drywall, you don't see the imperfections unless you shine a bright light on it. If you're trying to work with drywall in a dull room, it'll look fine. But as soon as the light shines on it, and sometimes it has to shine on it at a certain angle, and you look at it and say, oh, how did I miss that? And it's like, oh, that's no good. And that's what light does. It shows where things are not quite right. Darkness hides things. Darkness hides errors. That's why, you know, when you go to buy a car, you don't go looking at it in the dark. You go looking at it in the light so you can see what there is. And there are people today who prefer to live in darkness because they don't want to see the reality of sin. There are people today who like the darkness physically, the physical darkness. They live their life in the dark, and they prefer it that way. And oftentimes, that's symbolic, not always, but oftentimes that's symbolic of another kind of darkness that's within them, that they feel comfortable around that. Jesus said, John chapter 3, verse 19, this is the verdict. You know, the gavel has come down. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but men loved darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Jesus said it. Those whose deeds are evil will prefer darkness any time because light exposes sin. Contrast that with 1 John 1:7, where John writes, if we walk in the light, as he is the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin. Here's the point. The light of Christ exposes our sin, yes, but the reason it does so is so that we can be restored, so that we can be changed, so that God can do a work within us. If we are hiding our sin, if we are hiding it, it'll never get straightened out. We should never be ashamed of confessing sin, because that's when God is doing a work in us. If we walk in the light as he is the light, we have fellowship with one another. And here it is, the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us from all sin when we walk in the light. God understands messes. God understands disorder. God understands how we're sinful. He's not afraid of that. He knows about our weaknesses. He's literally seen everything under the sun, and he can handle it. His desire is to expose what's wrong so that it can be corrected. Light will expose our sin, but the purpose is not to condemn, but to purify. We must never be afraid of the light. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world. We need to remember that. But to save the world through him. All too often we're afraid of condemnation. There's plenty of that already in our world. The Bible says there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Jesus comes as a light in a dark world. Yes, to expose sin, but for the purpose of purifying, of correcting, of restoring. We don't need to be afraid of his light. And secondly, light will guide us. Light will guide us in the way we need to go. Back in Exodus chapter 13, God provided a pillar of fire to lead the people through a dark night. It was the light that guided them, that showed them the way to go when they were fleeing from Egypt. When Jesus came into the world, he said, I am the light of the world. In other words, he is the one we can follow. He said, whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. And so, Christmas is a time when we celebrate the birth of Christ, our Savior. He came to seek and to save the lost. He came as a light. He came to show us the way. He came to guide us. He came to lead us to the Father. That is his gift to us. at Christmas. Our part is to follow him. You know, as the wise men who followed the light and it led them to the baby, Jesus invites us to follow him and he will bring us to the Father. There is much darkness in our world. Hatred and murder, war. There's lots of evil. There's lots of darkness as people push God further away. Sometimes it seems, it's discouraging. Sometimes it seems like this world is bent on self-destruction. It has plunged into darkness. Without God, there is nothing but confusion and dread, darkness and death. But here's the thing. The greater the darkness, the more impact even a little bit of light will have. If you're standing where you are, or seated where you are, and I'm up here and I light a match, you'd probably see it. You'd see the light. If I was a little further away, you might not. But if it was completely dark in here and I lit a match, you would see it even from a further distance. And our world is, it's discouragingly dark at times. But we have the chance of being a light. We have a chance of reflecting the light of Jesus into this world. It was in the midst of darkness that Isaiah calls people to walk in the light, that a light is coming. Paul challenges us to cast off the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. And in the midst of this, God sends his Son to be a light in our dark world, not for the purpose of condemning, but for the purpose of cleansing and guiding. And so this morning, I just want to put this thought before you. How will you allow the light of Jesus to shine in your life? His light is the gift to us at Christmas. This is the blessing we so enthusiastically celebrate. Jesus, the light of the world, come to bring hope, peace, joy, and love, his gifts to us in an otherwise dark world. He came into the darkness to lead us out. If we would follow him, we would never walk in darkness again. That sounds pretty good to me. That is my prayer, that the light of Christ will shine brilliantly upon our lives and then through us, through you, into the darkness of this world. It is through you, I can reflect. We are not God, but we can reflect the glory of God, the light of the Lord into the world around us, bringing hope, peace, joy, and love to the people around us. Might not solve everything, but you can certainly make an impact on those closest to you. Jesus, the light, has come. Let us reflect him. Our Heavenly Father, we pray this morning that you would continue your work in our lives. We want to thank you, Lord God, that you are the light of the world, that you have come, Lord, to dispel darkness. And Lord, when we think about our own lives, our own hearts, and the darkness that was there within at some point, Lord, and we want to thank you, Lord, that you have come, that you have come in, that you have come to restore us, that you have come to purify us from all unrighteousness, that you have come, Lord, to shine your light upon us, Lord, and that we may reflect you. Lord, we know this world is dark in many ways. And yet, Lord, it was in a dark and gloomy world like that that you gave the message to Isaiah that the people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. And I pray, Lord God, today that a light would dawn upon us and through us in our community, Lord. We pray for White Horse. We pray, Lord God, that you would bring a revival upon us, Lord God. Even in our own church here, Lord God. In our own hearts, in our own lives individually, Lord. That you'd bring a revival upon us. And then through us, Lord, into the greater community, Lord. We pray, Father God, that the year ahead would be a year of brilliant light shining upon us, through us, for your glory and for your kingdom's sake, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.